Welcome to Marvin Methodist Church's Sanctuary Service, brought to you from our beautiful historic sanctuary in downtown Tyler. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. We appreciate your participation in this morning's broadcast and pray that God's message will speak to you in a beautiful way. Let's join in as the message has already begun.
At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And now on all the generations, they will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Friends, we just sang together, "Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing." Well, I hope that you've heard the angels sing this morning, both through your voices, through our beautiful chancel choir as they have sung for us, our children's choir, and through Kara singing as well. We have been blessed with the music today. And now let us pray for this message. Almighty God, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be active in this place, to come and to bless us with your word. Come and bring your spirit of joy. Speak through me now that we might be rejoicing in heart as we hear your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, anyone else want to admit that they wish that we had one more week before Christmas that could be just inserted in to give us just a little bit more time? Now, I don't know if it's just because Thanksgiving was late this year or what, but it just seems that Christmas is coming quickly upon us, and there is so much left that needs to be done. A lot of our evenings have been filled with staff Christmas parties, covenant group parties, other meetings that we've had to do. And friends, this is a very action-packed week, both just throughout the whole day and even into the night. And just to be honest with you, I came to Thursday and I was exhausted. I got home and I just said, "I'm done. I just need a break. I'm tired." And the beautiful thing is that Jean and I had decided that on that evening we were going to put up our Christmas tree and decorate it. And friends, what a blessing it was, because the ornaments that we placed on the tree began to connect my heart and to remind me of the love of family memories. For you see, we had some ornaments that were very special on that tree. One of those ornaments was a picture of Gina's dad, Jim Palmisano, who died 6 years ago, and just a way to remember him. The picture was taken when he had heard the news that Rebecca and Trey were going to have their first child, one of our grandchildren. And then there were other ornaments that were placed on the tree, reminding us of Brian and Kirsten's first marriage and wedding together, and then also their first Christmas together. Gina had also kept some of her mother's ornaments that came back with us from Florida, and those were put on the tree, as well as ornaments of our children as toddlers on the Christmas tree as well. Going upstairs, there's another tree that's in Abby's room where she'll be spending the Christmas evenings. And in that tree, Gina and I both have those ornaments you made in elementary school, you know, with the styrofoam ball cut in half, and you put your picture in there, one of Gina and myself as well. just warmed my heart to remind me again that Christmas is a time of family. It is a time of joy. And even though I was exhausted, and let me just confess, my confession to you today is coming out of Thursday, I was not feeling joy. And isn't that funny the way it always works? I've got to preach on joy this Sunday, and I'm not feeling it at all. But I realized something. I can't make Christmas happy for me. I may make Christmas happen for me. I can't make Christmas happen for my family. I can't make Christmas happen for you, the congregation. It has to be something that surprises us, a gift of surprise, of joy. And my healing of my heart began with the decorating of the Christmas tree and seeing the faces of my loved ones. Friends, also, I would say that on Friday morning, I had a good devotional time. Because if you're losing your joy, sometimes the first thing you need to do is check in with the Lord and really shore up your devotional life. And I'd been cheating on mine because there'd been so much to do. And then I went Christmas shopping Friday morning for Gina. That's my responsibility. I don't send her out to shop for herself. I like to shop for Gina because I love her. And just hear me in this correctly. Doing something for someone that I love and serving her is different than serving the church and doing my job at times. So going out and shopping, and what I was surprised to find out is how many people don't work on Fridays, because I found parking lots full of cars and stores jammed with people. Where are these people working? Why aren't they working? Because this is my day off and I should be able to have all this space. Friends, what really blessed me though, and I think send it over the top, was a gift that I received on KVNE radio as I was driving. A song came over the radio, a song that I have not heard before, written by Michael Boggs and Josh Nichols, and it's entitled, "Come You Unfaithful," sung by Michael Boggs and Amy Grant. Now listen to these words that as I turned on the radio, this is what this anxious heart that was struggling to get everything done heard. "Come, all you anxious, waiting and wanting. Come if your burdens are all you can bring, weary from silence and questions without answers. Rejoice, he came for you. Rejoice, he came for you. Rejoice, he came for you, Christ the Lord." It was what I needed to bring me out of this pit of unhappiness and lack of joy from all the things that had to be done. And I praise God that he is merciful. The remake of "O Come All Ye Faithful" was what I needed to hear. You can't manufacture Christmas, just like you cannot manufacture the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's in all of us. And at times it raises his head. He raises his head and he gives us great joy. And that's what I want to talk about today. The joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Today you've heard we've lit the candle of joy. We've taken a break from the seriousness of the purple candles of penitence, and we've taken a break knowing that Christmas will come whether you're ready or not, and joy will sneak up on you if you'll be open to it. This morning we talk about Mary's story from Luke chapter 1, and I want to remind you again of the importance of the Holy Spirit. I'll say this quickly. The Holy Spirit is how the Immaculate Conception happened. The Holy Spirit came upon her, and that's how the conception took place of baby Jesus within her. But also, as you heard me read from verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was immediately filled with the Holy Spirit. Friends, in the Old Testament, all the way up to before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit would come upon people when there were important jobs for them to do, whether they were prophets or judges or kings or Mary or Elizabeth. The Holy Spirit was given for a moment, but then the Holy Spirit would be lifted. But the good news is for us today that the Holy Spirit is within you always. That is the promise of the Scriptures. As in the Old Testament, it came and went. But when Christ was born and came into our lives, and when Christ died and was resurrected and went back to the Father, and the Spirit came, He came to dwell among His people. And the Scripture says, when the baby leapt for joy. And it was fulfilling of a prophecy said not too long ago, before this time, by the angel Gabriel. In Luke 1:15, it records the angel said to Zechariah, remember 2 weeks ago, Zechariah in the temple, the angel comes and says, guess what, you're gonna have a child. And this is what he says, the one you are to call John will be great in the sight of the Lord. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit before he is even born. That means when that baby leapt in Elizabeth's tummy, it was the Holy Spirit inside John the Baptist, inside of her. Wow. Amazing story that we are a part of. Well, friends, let's talk quickly about joy. If you're losing some joy, here I want to talk three quickly things about joy. There is joy when God's goodness brings people together. Yes. There is joy. We just experienced joy with Ignacio's baptism, did we not? And seeing the children there raising their hands to pray over this young child as we as a congregation sang to him, the joy of one becomes the joy of many. And friends, I believe that the church should be the most joyful place on Sunday mornings, because people who throughout the week have been encountering God and the Holy Spirit with God moments and scripture reading and doing acts of kindness and service for others are able to come together and worship the one who makes it all possible. This should be the most joyous place on earth, on Sunday mornings, churches all around the nation and also the world. And if you haven't had enough joy this morning, you come back tonight at 5 o'clock and you will see the Christmas Nativity, story of Jesus told by children, acted out by children. And if that does not bring you joy, I don't know what will. I read on one occasion that John and Charles Wesley were walking. John and Charles Wesley, by the way, were the founders of the Methodist Church, John officially, but Charles sang a lot of hymns. But John and Charles Wesley, according to their journals, were walking one day singing hymns to each other. When's the last time you've done that with someone? I told Jacob at the 8:30 service, before he leaves, we need to take a walk and we need to sing some hymns together. We just don't think that way, right? And we've all got our smartphones. But here, friends, let me tell you what happened. As John and Charles Wesley were singing hymns of praise to God, they were both filled with the Holy Spirit, so much so that they were uncontrollably laughing with joy and couldn't stop. Now, they downplay this and they reflect on this. They didn't want this to become a sign of the movement, because the Spirit comes when the Spirit wants to come. That can't be manufactured. So they didn't talk a lot about these types of moments of the Spirit, but they experienced it for themselves. Great, great joy. And when two Christians or many Christians come together, there should be joy in our midst. Secondly, there is joy found in prophetic blessing over others. How many times did we hear the word blessed in the scripture reading this morning? Four times. Four times. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill the promises that have been given to her. And then Mary picks up the song and sings, and now all generations will call me blessed. Blessing. Is that something that we could consider as we gather our families? Caden and Priscilla, I did y'all's wedding. I blessed you as a couple, and the congregation shared in that blessing of your marriage, right? We just blessed baby Ignacio. Friends, the church is about blessing. Christians should be about blessing one another. So is it too much a stretch to say, as you gather with family over the Christmas holidays, could you bless your children? Could you bless your grandchildren? It's not too hard to do. If you need some coaching on it, there's stuff out there that you can read about it. If you need help, come talk to me. How can we bless those we gather with? I look forward to praying with my little ones, my grandchildren. I have a 7-year-old who lets her grandpa pray with her. I have another 6-year-old granddaughter who wants to have Pop-Pop pray with her, and as I pray for them, I can bless them. I can proclaim God's promises over them. If you want to find joy, start blessing others, children. If you don't think you can do it extemporaneously, write it down. Say it in a text message. Say it in words of encouragement, however you want to do it, because friends, blessing others. And I can tell you, when my children graduated from high school, we had a party at my house. Many of you probably did the same thing, but the way our parties ended that Gina and I hosted is we got the kids down, we placed them in a chair in the middle of the living room, and we laid hands on them, and we blessed them. We blessed them that they would find good roommates and good friends in college. We prayed for them that the God's promises of his word would be active in their lives, that they would find worshiping communities, that they would find wonderful spouses. We prayed the promises of God upon them. And so we celebrate what the psalmist says in Psalm 146:5. Blessed is the one who helps, whose help is in the God, whose hope is in the Lord our God. Through blessing, we find God's goodness. Isn't it beautiful that the older cousin Elizabeth blessed the young teenager, Mary? What a blessing. You can have that same power. You want to know God's joy? Start blessing those around you. The third thing I want to say today is this. There is joy when God is magnified and glorified. The NIV says, my soul glorifies the Lord, but the real word that I would like to focus on is the Greek, which says megaluno, which means to magnify, exalt, praise, glorify. Literally, it means to make something bigger. Now, we don't make God bigger, but let me tell you, if you start keeping a journal and thanking God for his goodness, his faithfulness, his resources, the way he has blessed you, the way he has cared for you, his compassion for you, his blessing of your family. If you started writing those things down, God would be bigger in your mind than maybe sometimes the small that we make him. On Friday, as I was driving, listening to the radio, KVNE Radio Director of Development, Lacey Cavanis, shared a testimony. She actually did an interview with her daughter, Ellie. I don't know how old she is. Early preschool, maybe a preschooler. Early elementary, maybe. This is what she said. Ellie, what is the meaning of Christmas? And Ellie said, the birth of Jesus. But then she added, he came, he grabbed our sin, and threw it super far away. What a great testimony from such a young child. A Savior has been born to us who throws our sin super far away. Along with our Savior, the Magnificat, as we know it, says other things. His mercy extends to those who hear him. He performs mighty deeds with his arm. He scatters those who are proud. He brings down rulers and lifts up the humble. He fills the hungry with good things and sends the rich away empty. He helps his servant Israel, and he remembers to be merciful. Maybe if blessing others is not a Christmas discipline you want to add to your preparations for Christmas, may I encourage you to begin to make a list of all the attributes of God, all the ways that God has blessed you. And therefore, you will be magnifying God. You will be making him big. Thomas, pop up, stay in the room. We're wrapping it up. Coming down the hallway. You can make your God big in your life, or you can make your God small. But friends, we have a great overstory to tell, and I would just want to share this with you. Next Sunday, orchestra, anthems, Christmas carols, full congregation. That's going to lead us up to Christmas Eve. We'll be tapping into the greatest story of a God who became one of us and brought us great joy. Fulfilling the Christmas to-do list, getting things done, checked off the list, might make you happy. But if you really want to find the joy of the Lord through the Holy Spirit, be with His people who share in His goodness. Offer a blessing over someone and speak that or receive that. And make God big through the listing of His many great works. That, my friends, will give you joy. May the Holy Spirit bring us joy this Advent season. Hallelujah. Amen.
Store.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. I'd also like to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block west of the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW, N-E-W, to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please go to marvin.church/give. Or send a gift to the church at 300 West Irwin Street, Tyler, Texas, 75702. Thanks again for joining us, and have a blessed week.